We are reading from Psalm 127 this morning. How's that? We're breaking out of the New Testament. There is an Old Testament. Yeah, we're in Psalm 127. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. Great psalm. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. That's a wonderful scripture for dads. Well, for non-dads, too. Let's go ahead and stand. And we'll begin in Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Okay, let's be seated. Thank you, Father, for the word. And Ron, it's all yours.
All right, so good morning, church. So happy Father's Day to you. It's a really cool day. I enjoyed, like, we get out there, we have these t-shirts and everything. So, like, if you're new here, it's your first time, like, it's a great day to show up, get a t-shirt. Everybody likes to say, Grace Dad, that's an awesome thing to have going on a t-shirt there. Graceful Dad, that's one of the things that I always try to aspire to every time, even though I know, like, I fail miserably every now and then, would just try and be grace when you're the father of a 2- and 3-year-old. Like, they can work your patience sometimes, for sure. Anyways, it's really just a really good time. And plus, the other thing about it is, like, if you haven't got that gift for dad yet, free t-shirt. Can't go wrong with that. And I know some of us are thinking, like, I'm really struggling because it's so hard. Dads are notoriously the hardest people to shop for because, one, they already have everything, and, like, they're really good at making excuses, like, this is a need, we have to go get this, rather than just something I really, really want. Like, dads are really good at doing that. But so if you just, you know, dads are notoriously hard to shop for, so there's kind of a gimme right there, a free gift to get for dad. But that's another thing I was trying to think. So if there's, like, any hobby that anybody has, one that I really suggest that you might want to try to do, like, the Saturday before Father's Day, because dads are so hard to shop for, just go to your local Home Depot, and you will see wife and children just, like, aimlessly wandering through the aisles trying to find something for dad at that last minute. And for me personally, I just, like, I feel your struggle because I'm always the guy right there trying to figure out something for my dad at last minute. It's just so hard. It could be just so hard to do. But I've learned something over the years, especially when I'm dealing with my father. It's not necessarily the gift that means that much to him. It's not necessarily what it is. He's a big person of time, but the thing that really matters the most, or the thing that he really desires more than anything, is just he wants to feel needed. You know, he wants to feel like he's has a need and a purpose that he's serving. And just to remind him that, me as a son, to say, like, Dad, you mean a lot to me. Like, I'm so thankful. Like, I still need you in my life, even though I'm grown and I got this new chapter that I'm opening up with kids. Like, I need advice in my life. Like, that means more than anything at all to him. So, like wives and sons and daughters, I would always say, like, if you really want to make your father feel good, just, you know, make him know that he's needed sometimes. And, like, wives, I know sometimes that might be like, hey, this pickle jar right here, I really need help. And, like, I know sometimes, though, like, wives, like, you know, last time I asked him for something, I never heard the end of it. But I'm just saying, that's because that's how dads are. You know, like, we really enjoy knowing that we are needed. So if we actually have the next slide, you might be able to pop up here, get a couple of slides. I got a picture of my children up here. Maybe we'll get it going. But maybe not. But I got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I always got to say, my secret thing is I really like to be needed too. I really like to feel, one more slide. I really enjoy to have that feeling that I'm really needed. And so I got a secret confession. I'll show you my child. My oldest is Gideon. He's the 3-year-old that'll be up there. Mason is my other little guy. And I really enjoy, secret confession, I really enjoy when they get hurt and mom's not around. Like, I think a secret dad confession, because, like they'll fall down, they'll scrape. I'll kind of, like, stand off to the side. They'll scrape their knee or something. And, you know, the first thing whenever a kid gets hurt, the first word out of his mouth is always, mommy, like that mommy, where are you? And I just kind of, you know, wait my time, just kind of sit there. And then eventually, you know, we have this moment where our eyes finally lock and they're like, daddy. And I'm like, here I am, son, I'm right here. Just come on, bring it in. I love that feeling right there of just knowing that I'm needed. And the truth of the matter is, fathers are really needed. So if we hit this next slide, just a couple stats. And I know we've probably all seen them before. We've probably all heard just the impact that fathers have in the home. So this one's just kind of in general, what happens with children. We can just see some statistics. When a father is not in the home, when a father is absent from the home, that household, those children, that mother are 4 times at greater risk of poverty. They are 2 times at greater risk for infant mortality, 2 times more likely to even suffer things that might not necessarily seem connected right away, like obesity, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, 2 times more likely to drop out of high school, more behavioral problems, more likely to commit crime, more likely to go to jail. The statistics just kind of roll on and on and on. The point is, when fathers are not present, the family suffers. And like we can see it like over and over, almost every statistic that we use to measure wellness, if a father is absent, that statistic decreases. Homes just are not as healthy when fathers are present. I got another one. If you hit this next slide, I think this one is really, really interesting when it just talks about the effects of fathers within the church. So let me just read this one, some data. This one's collected from Promise Keepers and Baptist Press. If a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only 1 in 50 children will become a regular worshiper. But if you switch that, and if a father goes to church regularly, regardless of what the mother does, 2/3 to 3/4 of their children will attend church at some point as adults. Or like this. And this statistic up here is to show, well, what happens if in a household where there's no believers, what if a child comes to Christ, accepts Jesus? What if a child becomes a Christian and begins following Jesus first? What happens to the rest of that household? Well, if it's the child first, 3.5% probability that somebody in that household will later on accept Christ. If it's a mother, it jumps up a lot to 17%, that if the mother is the first person to come to Christ and start a relationship with Jesus in that household, there's a 17% chance that somebody else in the household is going to start to follow Jesus, become a Christian. But then the statistic just skyrockets if it's a father. If there's a father who's the first person in that household to follow Christ, 93% of the time, somebody else in that household is going to become a believer or a follower of Christ. Huge impact that we can see that fathers are having on their family. Big impact. So I can kind of remember like this moment when I was like just thinking about impactful moments in my life. I remember I was one of those dads, you know, my wife went to labor 2 o'clock in the morning. So I had that 2 a.m. drive down the empty highway where I'm speeding the whole way, kind of panicking on the inside. We ended up getting to the hospital. We go in there. We have this process, the most hideous, beautiful thing that I've ever experienced, things that I didn't know the human body could do. But then out comes this beautiful little baby boy. It was Gideon, and I'm holding him in my arms, and I have this little bit of a moment, you know, where I'm thinking of Lion King, and the circle of life is praying my life, and I'm looking for Pride Rock to hold my child up over it, and I go to lift him up, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, God, what does this child mean for me? Like, I know its significance in my inner being, but I'm really trying to, like, I just can't really get my head around it at the moment. It's like, what is the significance of this child? And so I really started to kind of press into God and be like, Lord, I know that this is a big calling right here. Have this child. This is a huge calling. I know right now at this moment, even right then, I was just like, I just want to have impact in this kid's life. This kid that grows up, I just want to have so much impact in his life. That's really what was my heart. And I was just kind of started pressing to God, like, what does this mean, Jesus? Like, what does it mean that I have this little child now? And it's just kind of like this promise, this idea comes up. It's like, Ron, you have impact. This child right here, though, you're going to impact his life. And in impacting his life, the guarantee, like, you're going to have generational impact as well. Not just now, in this moment, in this present time, but you raise this child, you teach him to know me, to love me, to walk with me. Like, you're going to have generational impact. And that's kind of where I stumbled across the Psalm 127, when it just talks about generational impact and the impact that we as fathers get to have on our children, our young children. So let me just read this section again. Psalms 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, and like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior, so are the children of one's youth. I love the visual aspect to this scripture right here. You kind of get this idea, the father is this mighty warrior of God, and he has this children as an arrow. And just like we have our children, you put that arrow into the bow and you pull back. We know that some children just fly a little easier. Some, if you hunt, that's 45-pound pullback, you know, putting into the life. Other children, it's like 80. Like, we're putting a lot in there to pull before we finally get them to launch. Like, we get that. Some parents have walked through that. But the point is, like, you're putting all this energy and this time to pull, to find the aim, to find the target. You finally release your child. They're grown. They go their own way. And the same mission and calling and purpose that you've had in your life, the dedication and things that you've done towards the Lord in your life, that child runs and flows with it, and he hits the target of perhaps a battle that you even started in your life. Impact in the future. Having a child is that generational impact, a heritage from the Lord that says, you know what, when I'm raised up, when this child is grown and he goes on out his own way, he's going to have some kind of impact for the kingdom of God. Fathers, that's what we get to try to raise and to pour into our children. So today, I just wanted to go over a couple things that, while I was just studying, that I thought came up and said, these are probably some of the most important things that we can try to give to our children as we grow them, and we raise them and set them up to have that generational impact, things that we can teach them as fathers so we can maximize the generational impact that our children have going forward in the future. So the first one is fear the Lord. So it's one of those phrases that I kind of get about. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It's not be afraid of God. It's not, you know, kind of tremble and run away from him all the time or avoid him. Like, that's not how we as fathers want our children to fear us and run away from us and not want anything to do with us. It's not that. But fear, when we think about in the Bible, it says fear the Lord. I think the term that best wraps up what fear the Lord is an awesome respect. To have a very awesome respect for God. Do that in your household. So I think there's a good example that my three-year-old taught me one day. So we, in our backyard, we have this really big rock. It's like, it's got to weigh maybe at least 300 pounds. It's round. It's smooth. The point is, there's no way that I'm maybe able to pick it up and carry it or begin to move it in the least kind of way. But my son, there's a trampoline that our neighbor has, and he's always trying to find things that he can climb on to climb up on the trampoline and start jumping. So Gideon, he gets this idea. He gets his friend over, his neighbor. He's 3 years old, and they're all there, and I'm watching him. They're just trying to wrestle this rock that weighs 300 pounds. Like, there's no way they're getting it, but they're, like, getting frustrated, and he's, like, trying to direct them. Like, just push, man. You can do it. And they're like, no. And then all of a sudden, I could just see it click in Gideon's mind. He's like, I know what to do. And he turns around, and he looks at me, and he's like, Dad, this 300-pound rock right here, get it and move it over there by the trampoline. My pride welled up in me, and I was super strong. Not really. But what happened was, I was like, wow, that is an awesome respect that my child has for the power that he thinks I have. My power is nowhere near that level, nowhere near that strong. But when we look at our Heavenly Father, are we having that same awesome respect for the power that God has? our God is able to move that rock like nothing, you know, like our God is that mighty God. And that's what we need to set up in our house, is to have that awesome respect, that awesome fear of the Lord in that sense, to put God in his rightful place, knowing his power, his authority, and because of that, honoring God with everything that we have. As a man, as a father, is your household a household where God is honored? Awesome respect. Put on the very pinnacle of the household at the front door when you walk in, rather than just on a shelf somewhere in the house. Awesome respect for God. So I can always say, like, it's so important for us too as fathers to have that respect for, to have that, that awesome respect for God. Because if we don't put a place of honor our relationship with God, nobody else is going to do that for us. And not only that, nobody else is going to do it. Our children definitely won't do it if God is not at a place of honor, awesome respect in our household. First thing that we can do to really raise children to have generational impact is fear the Lord, have that awesome respect for God in our household. Point two, next thing that we can really do to impact, the have increased generational impact for our children is be present. Be there. Be part of the kid's life. I always say, like this is one that can get really hard for guys sometimes, because like we just have so many passions sometimes. Like we love hunting. We love fishing. Like we love just taking care of lawns, like getting out there and just doing things. But sometimes we can, if we're caught up in our job, like we really, really enjoy that and we have that purpose and everything that we get that. We can get so caught up in doing that that we forget that the most important impact, the biggest thing that we have in our life, is that gift of children, the heritage, that quiverful of children that we might be blessed with, that we're actually, that those kids right there are actually the most important, impactful thing that we can do in life. Be present with those in the moment. Like me, I've had these times where I've really struggled because I'll come home and I'll still keep working on things that I picked up from the office. Or I'll still keep working on things that, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, this is coming up next week. I just need to knock it out right now. But at times, I've done that so much that I'm just failing to be present with my kids. I'm doing so much other things and my kids are there kind of, you know, knocking on my door like, Ron, what's up? Dad, come play with me. That I'm just like forgetting to be present. But I love how it says about God right there, about how he is present. He says, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way that the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? God is not a God that's far. God is not a God that's distant. He's literally right there. Anytime that we pray, call upon his name, that's where God is. Do our children have that same kind of access to us as parents? As fathers, do they have that same access? You're like, if I need my dad, I can talk to him. Like, there's nothing that's so important in his life that he's too busy to be with me, to even reach out or just say, Dad, I just need a little bit of time with you. Like, will my dad go out of his way to be there for me, just to even lend a listening ear, if that's it? Be present with our kids. Like, it's so important, because that reflects how we respond to our children's and their need for us reflects God. God is present with us. God is there. God is always close, ready to listen. If we're the same way, or if we're the opposite and we say, like, we're always too busy, what are they going to think about their Heavenly Father? That God is always too busy for even those minute little needs that they might have. Those little struggles or little things that we go into life, like, I can't even bring this to God because God rules the entire universe and he's too busy with everybody else to have time for me. Impact of fathers. Biggest thing, another huge thing we could do, be present with our children. So, point number four, the next thing that we can do to really increase our generational impact for our children is exercise our authority. So sometimes like this, like, man, I don't enjoy disciplining my children, but I love this right here. It says, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. the importance of discipline. One of my favorite stories about failed fatherhood in the Bible is the story of Eli in 1 Samuel. So Eli, he has these sons that are just kind of running amok. They're not honoring God. They're not performing in the temple the way that they should. They're stealing the women that are coming to the gates. They're abusing them. And just all these crimes that are going out, that his sons are just not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not being godly in any kind of way. And Eli, he has the authority because, one, he's the priest, but he even has more authority because on top of that, he is their father. And this kind of gets brought to his attention like, hey, your sons are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And Eli's response is, you know what, like, I understand, and he kind of gives like this weak response to his kids, like, why don't you just kind of try to do a little bit better instead of exercising the authority that God had given him? Instead of disciplining or taking care of his children in the situation the way that he should have right there and that, he kind of bows down and backs out. He fails to exercise his authority. Because of it, like, we see that God is angry with his sons. It's literally to the point where destruction is imminent upon his family and his generation. And Eli has an opportunity to exercise the authority to maybe change the way that goes. But he totally fails to do that. Verse 12 and 13, just kind of God's response. He says that in that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to the end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, and because his sons made themselves vile, and listen to this, and because Eli, he did not restrain them. That's such an assault on the father right there. A father that fails to exercise authority actually jeopardizes his entire household. Actually fails to get his household, lead his household in a way that can actually lead to life. And we see the end of that story. Of course, Eli's sons die. And after hearing of the death of his sons and the destruction and the promise that's going to happen, like, either you're not only now, your generational impact is gone. Nobody else in Eli's line is going to continue on. Eli falls off and he dies. And that kind of closes the story for Eli right there. So anyways, a father that loves his child will discipline him. And I know, guys, it's not the easiest thing to do. It's not always the most fun part of parenting. But, I mean, that's part of it. If you love those that you love, you will correct and help get on the right path so that destruction does not fall upon them. Loving, exercise authority. And last thing that we can do as fathers to really increase our generational impact is to be dependable. So I love this idea of being dependable, because it kind of brings in some questions about when you interact with your children. Dependability. So when you interact with your children, do your words count? If what you say to your children is going to happen and you're going to do you follow through with that as it's a priority and keep your word to your children? Are you dependable? Do your children believe in the things that you tell them? Do they come to you when they are in a tight spot because they know that you will give them either dependable advice or you will step up to help them when they're in a tough situation, that they know they can count and depend on you? Because ultimately, whatever we say or whatever our kids look at us and they see us as fathers, that's ultimately what they'll end up saying about God as well. If my father was dependable, I knew he was there. Whenever I was in trouble, I could call up on him, and I know my dad will be there, and I know he'll always act righteously and do what's good. If my father is always saying, like, he's just trying to be more like Jesus and follow God closer and closer in every day. I know as a son and as daughters, if my dad is anything like God, or if God is anything like my dad at all, then that's a God that I really want to know. That's a God that I want to get closer to and follow, because my father has shown me what Heavenly Father is like. And if they have anything in common, then I really want to know that God. Important things that we could say, like, that's winning as a father right there. If you could say, man, If my children say the number one thing that made me want to know God more was I looked at Dad and I saw what his character was like. I saw how he was. And I said, if that reflects God at all, then I must know that God. I have to get to know that God. I always think so much of back when there's these two questions that kind of go through our mind all the time. And I think they're really at the root of every single question that we as human beings struggle with. And it comes down to this relationship with God. Is God somebody that we can trust? Is God somebody who is good? And if he's really good, is he somebody that we can trust? And if God is good and we can trust him, then that's somebody I want to follow. But if God is not good and God's untrustworthy, that's a God I don't want anything to do with at all. That's a question that I think actually played out way before, you know, even sin came and fell. Like, I could see it with Adam and Eve in the garden right there at that moment. Like Eve is seeing this fruit, this temptation that's before her, and she's like, man, this fruit looks really, really good. But God says, I should not eat this fruit. And then the serpent comes in and kind of tempts him and said, well, did God really say that? Can you really trust God? And you see that the fruit is good. If the fruit is good, why would a good God keep a good thing from you? It's kind of like the lies and the manipulation comes in there. And at some point, I think we always get that, like God, if you're good, why would there be any good thing that was kept from me or anything along those lines? Like, what was going on in that situation? And then it comes on, it's like, did God surely say that you should not eat of that fruit? And we see the root of mistrust start to develop in humankind as well. Because there's always those two questions, like, is God good and is he able to be trusted? Guys, I'll tell you, as men, as fathers, the number one place the kids will come to answer that question, is God good and can he be trusted, is they'll come to their father. If you're a father that is good, you know that you could be trusted with their little heart and all the hope that they put in you. Like every time they come and they're scared, Daddy, I'm coming to you. If they know that you're a good father and that you could be trusted, they're going to look at God and say, God is good. He can be trusted, and because of those things, everything else, all those other big questions in life just seem to fall into place. So guys, that's a big thing that I want to say that I want us to take with us. God is good, and God can be trusted. With all those questions and things that come up that in life where we just really kind of can struggle through at times, God is good, and God can be trusted. God is good, and God can be trusted. We remember that, we see that, that's who our Heavenly Father is. That's where our rest and our peace comes in. Whenever there's circumstances and things that come up that are really something that we can struggle through or we just have a hard time, my Heavenly Father is good and he can be trusted. It's the core of it all. Guys, I thank you so much. So let's pray to our Father in heaven. Lord, I thank you so much that you are a good Father and that you are a God that can be trusted. Father, we're just so thankful that you go such distances for us, that you have such a great love for us, that your compassion is never ending for us as sons and daughters. Lord, we just want to draw closer to you, and we want to see you in the pure light of who you truly are, God, a good Father that is able to be trusted. And Father, we just want to continue to put our trust in you day in and day out. Because God, you are our Father, you are our God, and whatever circumstances and things come up in this life, Father, we know that you'll be by our side, just like any good father would be. Thank you, Jesus, for the love that you have for us and for this beautiful life that you've given. We pray in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.